Texas. I don't know if you are keeping up. It's best not to watch it all the time. But the stuff that is going on is really, really dividing our country severely. And we're in terrible states. And every day when you think it's about to shut off, something new arises. And we got people that have some concerns. But we got people that have no idea what America's about or what that flag's about or how it got here. They've never worked a day in their life. Many of those young kids didn't get to go to school this year, so they're out there just to have fun and destroying other people's property, occupying other people's homes, and going to the bathroom in their yards and this stuff like that. I mean, how could you understand that? And I've said this before, but I want to remind you of something, because we have some of those people there on the left that's talking about, well, you can't send a National Guard. When we raised our hand, and every time I enlisted or reenlisted in the military to protect from all enemies, foreign and domestic. So that covers the whole ball game. And when our president makes a statement like that, oh, he can't do that, he can't do that. He has his sworn oath to do that. The most important job the president has is to protect us and to preserve our union. And it's being fragilely, becoming very fragile, being torn. So we need to pray about that. Let's do that, and then we'll bring the message and talk about believing in these crises that God is, as Brother Carl prayed, in charge, and he knows what's going on. We've made the mess, and we always want God to clean it up. But when God does clean it up, he may not clean it the way we'd like for it to be cleaned. I can remember when my sister used to check me out when I was walking to school. We walked to school in those days. And come here, I want to check your ears out and make sure you're clean. And won't you embarrass me today? She'd stick her finger in with a washcloth on the end of it, about half that first knuckle into my ear, and bored it in. And then my brain's over here, and then that, you wonder what's wrong with me. And my ears stick out because she held on to them while she was holding me, and I'm pulling away. And then my brother hit me with a pole axe in the nose, and my glasses don't want to stay on my ears or my nose because of my nose bent in with a pole axe, and my sister cleaned my ears out. But I thank God for them. I thank God for having people that love me and cared for me and try to make me do right. And let's have prayer. Father God, we thank you for being American. And I don't understand why or how it was ever conceived in your mind to make me and have me to be an American and to be born into the home I was born into and to be raised the way I was raised and to have the experiences of life that I've experienced and to enjoy the good things that you've allowed in the path and most of all to be the pastor of this church. And I'm very humbled by that as we continue. And Lord, we want to open up more and more our church to the world that they might see Christ. And Lord, if it be that outsiders want to come tear down our city or our town, will we be so gallant and so brave as to get ourselves down in the town and take a stand on the street and say, no, not in our town. You're not going to do that. And support our police that are trying to do the job. We know that there's always somebody. There's bad teachers. There's bad preachers. There's bad everybody, doctors, lawyers. Somewhere there's a bad one in every basket. But, Lord, the police are not all bad. And not all black people are bad. Many of them are standing up and are ashamed of what's going on. So, Lord, help us to do what is right and be right. And we'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. To believe that everything is going to be worked out to the good of God when things are really going bad is very difficult to do. Anybody can believe when the fire in the stove's going, the AC's working, the car's okay, the insurance are paid, the bills are paid, nobody's sick. It's easy to believe God's okay. And we can go and travel to the seashores and to the mountains and look at our beautiful country and travel in our state parks and go to foreign countries and enjoy what they got to offer. It's easy to believe that God is good. But when things are really down and the wind is roaring and the howling and the storm is up on us and we don't know which way to turn. And when we have many generations of grandkids and great-grandkids, and we wonder, what kind of world are we handing to them? What are we giving them? And when we hear some of these people talk, we wonder, where were they taught? What parenting did they have? What kind of school did they go to? Where did they gain such silly notions that they have in their head? It's hard to believe. Belief is the core of what we're about as Christians. Our very basic premise is belief. Many don't understand that. Many and all other religions think that you have to do something to gain God's favor. But you and I know by the blessed grace of God, we're saved no matter who we are, what we've done, where we've been, how we act, how we react. God loved us enough that he sent his only begotten son to save us. In Romans 10, verse 9, it tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe, that's all we have to do is believe. Notice that. We just read over that sometime, that if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The only goodness that we have and the only way we're made good is by believing on Christ, and he takes his robe of righteousness and puts it on us. We're not good because we do good. As a matter of fact, the Bible says all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Everything we do, if we'd lay it good, everything good at his feet, he says, that's filthy rags. The only righteousness, the only goodness that he sees in us is the blood of Christ covering us from our sins. For the scripture saith in verse 11, whosoever believeth on him, we have to believe on him shall not be ashamed. Why, if I'm a Christian and I believe, why am I dying of cancer? If I'm a Christian and God loves me, why am I going through all this hurt and pain? That's our big question. We still have to look beyond the for now and the trouble and say, out there somewhere God is working all things for his good to them that love him, that are called according to his purpose. I have to believe that. And this is not the end yet. This is just the beginning. And actually, we haven't really got into the beginning. He saved us. And he wants us to draw closer to him. We just sang a beautiful hymn, did we not? More love to thee. More love. Love sees things. Listen to me. I'm not going to wear a pink suit and dance around with a rose in my hand when I say this. But I'm going to tell you, love is the most important thing. And love will help you see things that you've never seen before. It'll help you see into people's hearts and to people's minds and people's souls. And it will help you examine and let God examine your own heart about issues of life and what you're doing and what you're not doing. But he says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Am I ashamed of Christ? Am I ashamed of my family? Am I ashamed of those that shoulder to shoulder with me bear the burden when we've been rocked around and knocked around, but we're going to keep climbing that mountain for God and for the glory of God and for the future generation that they can say, yes, they did it. They did it, so we can do it. Where is the next generation going to be? The ho-hum crowd? It's okay if you want to, if you don't have to. God doesn't drive anybody. There's leadership that drives. The communists, people like that, they drive people, make them do what they want to. But we say, and God said when he saved you, the only thing I'm asking you to do is just go tell people what great things I've done for you. I will not drive you. I will not make you. I will not make you do anything. I will ask you to come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I'll ask you to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I'll ask you not to forget that you support my work with your willing, free gift and offering and your free time. I ask you to not look to the right or left when you do something for God. I'll ask you not to be looking for the glory, but to give me the glory when you do it. believe on him shall not be ashamed. Are you ashamed of those things? Are you ashamed of them? For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, or the black or the white, or the city slicker or the country boy. No difference. God saves all the same way and makes us one family. And God delights in diversity. When you go into somebody's beautiful garden, you don't see one row straight down there of lilies and nothing else in the garden? Of course not. You see all kinds in there. Several years ago, we were traveling and we were talking to a ranger, park ranger down in Georgia. And he stood about that tall and he was about that wide. And when he took his hat off, he was bald-headed. And I don't know how we got on the subject, but we got on the subject of people. He said, God makes us all different. God makes us all different. Not everybody looks like Robert Redford or whoever, or Superwoman or all of that, and spend all your time in front of the mirror and all your time in the store and all your time in a barbershop getting a haircut like some of those people, look like those people. You know what I mean? God loves us the way we are. He says we're uniquely made. By the way, you know how you catch a rabbit, don't you? You sneak up on him with your sneakers on. There's a story about dress, too. By the way, it's Flag Day, right? There's a story about dress that I was told a long time ago. This guy was in New York City in the Jewish section of town, and he was going to go in his Jewish shop and see if he could find a nice suit. He had an appointment to go to meet a special person. He wanted to be dressed right, so he went in the store, and he told the Jewish owner, he said, I'm looking for a nice suit of clothes. He said, sure. He only had one size. He grabbed a coat, put it on him, grabbed a pair of pants and put them on. And the guy said, what do you think? The guy said, well, you know, this coat's kind of big. He said, well, you remedy that by pulling it like this, stick one elbow right there and hold that. And he said, but my pants are too big. He said, well, then you grab them right here and you hold them just like that. And he said, there you go, it fits good. So the guy walked out on the street. There's two loafers sitting out there, and one looked at the other. He said, that man looks horrible. He said, wonder what kind of accident he was in. Is he deformed? He said, I don't know, but his suit sure did fit him good. So, you know, what's on the outside isn't what's important. It's what's on the inside. Amen? I don't know if you liked that well. I thought it was pretty good. Let's look at some things you have to believe. You absolutely have to believe. There's no halfway Christian with God. And I believe if we were giving the invitation this morning and somebody's lost and sitting in that seat and they got out of that seat and started for the altar, the moment that they stepped in the aisle, they fell dead, they would be in glory. The moment you believe in your heart, he said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The moment you decide to accept God, we verbalize it for you so that we know and other people know that we got it. But the moment we say yes to God in our heart, we are saved and in the family of God. We may not know why till the day we die we baptize. People say, why are we getting baptized? I don't know, because I'm a Baptist. I think it's a good idea and I like it and Jesus did it. You know? And I've learned that there's some theology there that the death of the old body, the resurrection of the new man, and we can teach some of those things on. But if I didn't have any other reason to do it, God's Jesus said, do it. Do what he said to do. You know, we ask too many questions sometimes. Why this? Why that? Why this? Why that? I don't know. I just love it when I hear the band play and the flag goes marching by. I just love it. I love it when I hear just as I am or he's a great God. He's a mighty God. I just, something in my heart just starts beating. Makes me want to, and when I see an old soldier from World War I or World War II about, you know, going, slipping on the banana peel and one foot in the grave and just standing there saluting that flag, tears run down my face. We got to believe. The first thing you have to believe is that there's one true God. We don't have many gods. We can't go to the heathen and say, and we can't go to other so-called Christian churches who believe there is another God, another way, and say, you're our brother. You're only my brother if that first belief is solid, rock solid in your mind that there's one true God. And he read it in that passage of Scripture. If you go back, you'll see it. Genesis 1:1 says, people say, I need to read the Bible. Where should I start, Pastor? I'll start in the beginning. I don't understand it. Don't matter. It will come to you. A lot of things I don't understand. You have to take a switch key to start my truck, but you just take a finger to start my car. And when I get in the car, I'm taking the keys and trying to figure out where to put the key. Then I remember, oh, it don't work that way. So it don't matter how it works, I just do it, right? Because it works. So start reading. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God made it all. Just think how beautiful heaven's going to be. If God made this in 7 days, and man's marred and scarred with his sin, and he's been going about 2,000 years, and he's building us mansions, how beautiful, what kind of place is that going to be? That's going to be something, isn't it? We're going to shout glory, glory all the way. And the earth was without form. Here's a perfect picture of you and me inside before God comes. We're without form and void and darkness. Why can people do what they do? Why can they shoot a policeman who's standing guarding somebody's property in St. Louis and just mow him down? There's darkness in their heart. How can they do that? How can we abort our babies year after year after year? There's darkness in our hearts. How can people steal money and destroy other people's property and write graffiti on their walls? Because there's darkness in their heart. They don't know God. They don't have Christ. It doesn't matter where you come from or who you are or what you think or where you were educated or how smart you think you are. There's a certain amount of respect for people who've gone on before and waged out something and said, here stands my property. And you say, I'll just throw a bottle on it, and I'll just throw a cigarette butt on it, and I'll just spray paint your walls. Something wrong with that kind of thinking. And in that darkness, God said in verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. He didn't have to reach for a switch. He didn't have to go to the laboratory, fix a light bulb and make it and put the lithium and whatever he puts in there. No, God said, let there be. When you go to John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by him. So God's always spoken. The only thing God made that he didn't speak into being was a man. And when God made everything he made, he'd look at it, he'd say, that's good. And when he made man, he said, very good. And when he made woman, man said, wow, woman. I don't know what he said, but he must have said something like that. Because he loved her a lot. When God said to her, why did you do all this? And she was standing there shaking and trembling. God said, bring Adam in. He's responsible. I grew up in a time when we were to open doors for women. And we were responsible for women. And if a woman picked up a load, we said, no, here, honey, I'll carry that. We took care of our women. Adam forgot to take care of his wife. He was so interested in his beautiful garden that he forgot about his wife. May I run that one more time slowly by you men? Don't forget the queen, because, you know, happy wife, happy life. And if a wife ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, buddy. Right. You see what happens when we don't take our place and say, either, hun, get out here and help me dig this garden, or I'm going to come in there and help you cook, and you don't want me helping you cook, so you better get out and help me do with the garden, right? Amen? And God saw the light, and that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. We just say those words without thinking. It's daylight. God did it again. Every time I see the sun come up, I think the S-O-N came up, resurrected, and one day it's going to be over. And God called the light day and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. You have to believe that. I don't understand it. Never will. Scientists are trying to debunk it. The evolutionists are arguing about it? Zillions of years. They know that no man or no God they have could do that good. So they got to put it on a timetable of zillions of years. And God said it happened the minute he said it happened. Let there be, and there was. The second thing you have to believe, that God gave his son Jesus to save us from our sins. You got to think about that to digest that some. Think about your own heart. Think about the hearts of people you know. Not a one of us in here, if we're really honest, could say, I deserved it. I deserve God saving me. Hey, look here. Look here at me. I deserve God. You people don't, but I deserve it. No. Don't work that way. We have to all say, I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy of the least of his mercies. But he chose to save us. And I mentioned this passage a while ago, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I don't know how Christ is God, and how he's the Word, and how the Holy Spirit is God. I don't understand all that, but it is. I don't understand that the shell on an egg is the egg, the white is the egg, the yellow is the egg, and it's all the egg. And you crack the shell, and you can't get to the egg till you crack the shell. That'll take a while. Are you listening? You can't get to the egg till you crack the shell. Sometimes you got to let God crack your shell and get inside of you to really make what's inside of you beautiful by him and come out and be a blessing to someone else. Thank you, hen and rooster, or whoever made this egg, crack that egg and eat me an egg. I like the egg, right? God wants you to be something beautiful to somebody, but he's got to crack the shell first. I just don't feel good around some people. I just get uncomfortable around some people. You need that God crack the shell. Crack the shell. You ever hear the hard shell Baptists? They're the only ones going to get there. You heard what they said when they got to heaven? They looked over and said, who are those people over there? They said, well, they're the Methodists and they're playing cards. They never got to play cards down there. Dance and carry on, so they want to do that. And went on, the Lutherans and the Catholics went by this one wall and said, who's over there? Well, nothing over there. Said, well, who's over there? They said, well, the hard shell Baptists. They think they're the only ones here, and we don't want them to know any different. Amen? You know, Oliver Green said it. When we get to heaven, three shocks. You've heard me say this before. We're going to have, number one, when we plant both feet on glory, we're going to say, wow, I'm here. That's going to take a while to absorb, isn't it? Really. That's going to take a while to absorb. The second thing is we're going to look around for all the people we thought would be there, and they're not there. The third one is we're going to look at the crowds there and say, how did you get here? By the wonderful grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's what we sing about, right? All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. We got to get past that. Used to say, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, I know very plainly what my Bible says. God made the chicken first. He didn't say, I'm going to make some eggs, and then down through zillions of years, the shell will come off, and then another zillion years, and a leg of chicken come out, and he won't look exactly like a real chicken, but evolution will take over, and he may become a tadpole, and then he'll become a frog, and then he'll become a monkey, and then he'll get in a tree, and then there will be you and me. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You got to be a fool to believe something like that, don't you? Huh? Don't you have to be foolish? I used to tell my kids in school, I'd say, two ways we got here. Either nothing took nothing and made something, or God took nothing and made something. And I know that can be true because he took me and I was a nothing, and he made something out of me, whatever I am. I am something, man. Not me much, but I'm something. So we got to believe that Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins. There's no other way of salvation. oh, I like the way they do it. I like the singing. I like the... That's all good, but that's just trimmings on it. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the only way up to heaven, you're not going to make it. You can sing in the choir. You can preach in the pulpit. You can run and do 10 jumps down the aisle. You can build a church. You can donate your fortunes. You can leave money and still die and split hell wide open because you didn't trust in Jesus Christ. Amen? It's the only way. The Bible says that he's the only way. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and arose the third day for our salvation and justified us from our sinful state. All of us, if we're honest, would say, why did I say that? Why did I do that? I wished I hadn't have said that. I wished I hadn't have done that. Jesus died on the cross for us all. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You get into the family because you're bought by his blood. His blood and my blood are now one blood. Hebrews 10:9 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiness of the blood of the blood of Christ. He tells us when we're praying to come boldly, meaning we don't have to stop and say 10 Hail Marys. We don't have to stop and beg or say, am I good enough? Like if we're going to somebody's house, am I dressed okay? Or I'm going to, we're having a wedding on Friday. They're having it outside and everybody's wondering what to wear. They're going to have it outside. I said, well, since they're having it outside, and they're probably going to, I'm going to wear blue jeans and a T-shirt. That's what else I'm going to wear. They'll be offended. They can be offended if they want to. They didn't tell me what to wear. They said, be casual. So I'm comfortable in my blue jeans, right? I'm going to have it on the barn floor. So I used to sweat my jeans plumb with through, loading hay in a mount way up there while they put on a loader up there. I remember the good old days. All right? Romans 5:9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Being justified. You know what that word means? It means just as if I had never sinned. When God looks at you now and sees you through the prism of the blood of Christ, he sees you perfect. Because Christ's blood covers all your sin, past, present, and future, and you stand perfect before him. You say, I don't understand that. I don't either. And I'm not worried about how somebody I think was more rotten than me got in. I'm just glad I got in by the blood of Christ. Number four, you have to believe there's a heaven where the saved go to spend eternity with Christ. Well, when I die, it's all over. I said, no. That's the beginning. That's just the beginning. It's either the beginning of heaven or hell. John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. We live in a troublesome time. Went to sleep last night praying. Woke up this morning, saw some of the news, watched a preacher preach. I thought, we're in a mess. We're in a hurt. Jesus said, let not your trouble, believe in God. God's got it all in control. He said, if you believe in God, you believe also in me, because God in Christ is God. In my Father's house are many mansions. He didn't say many apartments, many rooms, many pretty gardens. He said many mansions. And if, as I said earlier, if he built this world in 7 days, 6 days and rested on the seventh, and he's been going for 2,000 years, it's going to be some kind of place. Some kind of place. They got him now. Guy gets off work, jumps in his car, unbuttons his tie, pushes a button, and his shower's getting warm at the house. Punches another button, the microwave comes on. He's got something in there, it's cooking. Walks in the house, the temperature has come back to the right temperature in the winter. It comes right back to warm. In the summertime, come right back to cool. He can walk right in the house. Take off his shirt, dirty clothes, throw them in a hole, and they go down and get in the washer and get all washed and clean. Goes in, gets in the shower. His dinner's ready, all fixed and ready. Let me tell you something, honey. Heaven's a lot better than that. Christ himself, the first thing he's going to do for us when we get to heaven, as a church, it's after the rapture, he's going to sit us down, and he's going to come by and serve individually, each one of us, having a waiter like Christ to serve us and feed us. That's just the beginning of heaven, folks. That's just the beginning, and the Bible's very clear about those things. I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, here's some thoughts. These are just thoughts, okay? If we have a hard time meeting with God and His people down here, how are we going to stand heaven? Some people's going to be out of place in heaven as a piano in a Church of Christ convention, as an Arab in Israel. They don't like to be around Christian people. They don't like to be at the church. But they say, I'm going to heaven. How are you going to get along in heaven? It's hard to get you to think that thought, isn't it? Number five, believe the unsaved because they're unsaved spend eternity in hell. This is hard for people even who are saved to believe. Jesus said, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me and you will that work iniquity. God didn't say, I once knew you and you backslid and I don't know you no more. That's another security verse, isn't it? He said, I never knew you. If you're saved, you're in. If you're not saved, you're out. Simple as that. Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. How long is everlasting? Well, there may be hell, Pastor Hodge, but it won't last forever. The everlasting fire. Hell is eternal dying. Heaven is eternal living. You got that? Life that Christ gives is eternal living, and hell is eternal dying. It's a death without any end to it. Screaming and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the Bible says, where their fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. That skin worm that gets into a dead body, because when the lost are resurrected, they take the same dead body, cancered or whatever it is, with the worms in it, and it's cast into hell, where it goes on for eternity. Hell is hell. It's not a place where we're using a cuss word. It is a place where the unsaved go. And you don't go there because you committed murder, because you committed adultery, because you got drunk. You go there because you didn't trust Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that will keep you out of heaven and God send you to hell. It's not believing. Believing. Where will you spend eternity? Where are you going to be? 1 John 5:13, and these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I pray you believe it on the Son of God. I pray you believe there is a God, one true God. I pray you believe that He loved you enough to die to save you, and that He will if you ask Him, if you've never done that. Would you stand for prayer, please? Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we bow before you. We thank you for Jesus Christ coming into this world. Lord, a dumb country boy was I, not knowing straight up from straight down, never had any real plain teaching about the Bible. But thank God today that my brother began to send me those letters and tell me, John, God loves you and wants to save you. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be more than that. I got to do something else. Just believe on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And I offer you that same salvation today if you're not saved. And if you are, we have a message to tell to the people of this county, this town, this state, this world. Even the vilest, wickedest people can still be saved. And even our good friends who are up and outers, who go to a fine, upstanding church and think because of their offerings and their goodness, they need to hear the message. Lord, we have a job to do. Help us as a church to do it. Lord, when this parking lot is full of cars and beautiful people this coming car show day, Lord, may we find the opportunity to present Christ unto them. May those that are not saved get saved before it's too late. Oh, God, help us. Help our missionaries today. Help our president. Help our country. Lord, help us to get back to the things that matter and get off of the high horse of things that don't matter. God, use us for thy glory. While heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed as the music plays for just a moment, if you have any needs this morning or any doubts about anything that you believe, would you make your way to this altar? If you've got any doubts about anything, God knows, and He wants to hear from you. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't feel like doing that, but you have a request on your heart for someone that you know, someone that's hurting, some family member, some friend, or somebody you work with. You may not be sure if they're saved, and you want some way to present the gospel. You just raise your hand and say, I have some like that. Help me. Pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. See those hands. God bless you. Five hundred forty-six is our hymn of invitation. If God is still striving with your spirit, please come to the altar right now.
Oh, so are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there.
Thank you for being here. We got to get back to our Sunday night service too. We need some people coming out. We need to do our communion again. We need to really get united as a church to face a crazy world out there. Someone was talking about those demonstrators that's supposed to be here. I don't know if they've showed up yet or not, but maybe some of us need to get down there and tell the police we're on your side and we're standing here too. You know, we have the courage to do things like that and maybe pass out some tracts to them and tell them God loves them, wants to save them. I don't know, but I know I don't want to miss an opportunity. I was saved during the time of the Vietnam War was going on. The world was crazy upside down. And shortly after that, I tried to preach a time or two, and we took a mission trip. Later on, went to Romania, and while we was at Romania, we were staying with people who had nothing, and there was a Russian family there, and they said to me, will you come and go back to Russia with us? we'd like to have you preach to people over there. I said, well, I'm on a schedule to get back home. I just taken another job, and I need to get back and do that. And I think back on that decision, I think I made a big mistake, because I'd always said to God, God, I'd like to go to Russia and preach on the, because communists, they were the big communist threat in those days. I want to preach on the Kremlin over there. Just stand over there and tell those people how much God loves them. But I don't want to ever make mistakes in not doing what God wants us to do. So let's be praying as God opens doors that we'll do it. Be praying. And again, I can't emphasize enough, if you've never been, if you can only stay for an hour or 15 minutes, come to the car show and help us out. To tell people, make them see how we welcome people and get them saved before it's too late. Okay? Let's look to the Lord and be dismissed in prayer. Roger, the one-armed warrior, is going to have our closing prayer.